Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Happy Friday and welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. We're now 35 days away to the kickoff of the Women's World Cup football tournament in France. And the defending champion, United States, has named its roster. Joining us now with more details is my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. The United States enters the Women's World Cup tournament as the favorites to lift the trophy. And on Thursday, head coach Jill Ellis named the 23 players who have been chosen to defend the title. Coach Ellis spoke in a media phone conference and said the long process of choosing the lineup began after the 2016 Olympic Games.
It's been a longer process in terms of planning and preparation. I think coming out of the Olympics, it was looking at not just player personnel, but profile, what kind of players, where's the game headed, where are we trending, and making sure that we had players that could fill those needs and be able to contribute to where I predicted or where I envisioned the game going in terms of the next 4 years on. So I think, what we've come to is exactly that. It is a team with great energy. It's a team with great experience. And even though there's younger players per se, I think those players have been with us for a while and, have experienced a lot of top quality matches. And ultimately that's what you want as a coach. It's those top games, those top five or six teams you play every year that are going to give you the most answers, with regards to players, ability to adapt in those games, not just to the tactics, but also to the psychological demands of those games. So I think it's been a longer process probably in terms of our planning than most people would envision.
12 athletes on the World Cup roster competed in 2015 when Team USA defeated Japan 5-2 in the final match. Forward Carly Lloyd, who scored 6 goals on that championship squad, returns to the world stage for a fourth time. 6 players are back for a third consecutive World Cup. They are defenders Becky Sauerbrunn, Kelly O'Hara, and Allie Krager, and forwards Alex Morgan, Megan Rapinoe, and Tobin Heath. 5 others made the list for a second time. And a shout-out to Mallory Pugh and Rose Lavelle, 2 players based right here in Washington, D.C., who are headed to the World Cup for the first time. All 23 on the roster played domestically, and Coach Ellis says that has given the athletes the skills to compete on the international stage.
The platform in and of itself and the environment is absolutely necessary for us to be able to compete for world championships and Olympics. I think every top team now in the world has a domestic league that's thriving, and so I think, that's critical. The two go hand in hand for me. So what has that given? Yeah, it's given players opportunities post-college that they now can be seen. And they're not just seen playing against, obviously, American players. They're seen now playing against some of the best players in the world and your own players that you have in. So I think, I can't speak enough in terms of the importance of having a strong domestic league.
On May 12th, USA will open their send-off series with a match against South Africa before leaving for France. And a quick congratulations to South Africa for making history in their first Women's World Cup appearance. South Africa joins Cameroon and Nigeria as the teams hoping to bring home a World Cup trophy for Africa. Nigeria is in the World Cup for an 8th consecutive time and is in Group A, along with first-time hosts France, South Korea, and 1995 Women's World Cup champions Norway. In Group B, South Africa has drawn with Spain, China, and 2007 World Cup champions Germany. In Group C, Italy will face Brazil, Australia, and Jamaica, making their World Cup debut. 2015 runners-up Japan and third-place winners England are set to meet Scotland and Argentina in Group D, arguably the toughest group. In Group E, Cameroon has drawn with Canada, New Zealand, and European champions, the Netherlands. And defending champions USA will face debutants Chile, Thailand, and Sweden. A total of 52 matches will be played in 9 stadiums across France, and FIFA has reported almost 200,000 tickets have already been sold. The ruling body aims to have a record 1 billion viewers tuning in to the tournament that is set to kick off on June 7th. And that does it for me today and for the week. I'll hand it back over to you, Sonny. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Gwen. And you have a good weekend, too. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. The FIFA Women's World Cup will culminate with the final on July 7th in Lyon, France. And the tournament will overlap for a couple of weeks with the 32nd Africa Cup of Nations football tournament in Egypt. That competition kicks off on June 21st and goes through July 19th. As I mentioned on Thursday's show, Tanzania's Nigerian coach Emmanuel Amunike has named a provisional list of 39 players for the Africa Cup of Nations. He included 15-year-old Kelvin John Pius, as well as some other young players. In an interview with Iron Mike Mbonye, Coach Amunike said his technical staff is planning how the team can switch straight to CHAN, the African Nations Championship, after the Nations Cup.
Looking at the programs after the AFCON, you have to change your mindset towards to CHAN. And you cannot just play CHAN without knowing your player. There are a lot of players, so that was on our list, but we were not able to invite them at that time. But at least the training now will give us faster, if they can fit into our plan, if they can fit into what we are planning for the national team.
In the list you released, there are some members of the under-17 and under-20 national team of Tanzania being part of the list. What must have been the reason for including the younger ones in your provisional list?
Well, it's a simple thing. We have to continue to see how we can grow as a team. We have to see how we can continue to develop our talent. Like I said, the objective is to see how we can continue to grow. You cannot see a good player, then you don't develop him. The players, they have to go through process of development. They have to go through process of understanding the game. They have to go through process of market. If the two players are good, I think it's a good thing for them. And it inspire the other ones, inspire the other young players, telling them that if they work very hard, if they are doing good, they will have chance to come to the national interpret. That team is for everybody. Tanzania here, regardless of where player is from, regardless of the age of a player, if a player is good, the thing we have to do is to see how we can develop, can guide him to become much better player. In Africa, sometimes we misinterpret the script. If a player is good, we are so good, so he doesn't go through the process of learning. We just feel he's good and he plays. And later we find out that there is a lot of things he's lacking. So those of you know how I reason when it comes to youth football and when it comes to seeing a young player. I like to encourage young players. I like to make them to believe that they are good, that they can grow, they can have something to offer the country when it comes to football.
Coach, when do you want to start camping? When do you intend opening camp for these players you've invited?
First week of June. We know that the season is after ending our players, at least they need break, they need time to rest, they need time to see their family. But we will resume. We have already released the list. I hope when the time comes, all the players are available, we can start to plan towards our journey in Egypt. I think that's the key point.
Do you have a schedule that will take you abroad, or you intend doing your camping at home?
Well, we will start here gradually. I intend to camp outside Tanzania. But of course, we have travel, travel there together. So we start here in effect some belief being a set of Tanzania.
That's Emmanuel Amunike, the 1994 African Footballer of the Year and the head coach of Nations Cup-bound Tanzania. And Coach Amunike spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Dar es Salaam, Tanzania. Tanzania is in Group C for the Nations Cup, along with Senegal, Algeria, and Kenya. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Joining us now with a package of African sports news is Samson Omale. Sporty greetings, Samson.
Sporty greetings to you, Sonny. We begin with reactions coming from South Africans after the Court of Arbitration for Sport dismissed an appeal by the Olympic 800 meters champion, Caster Semenya, against the introduction of regulations to restrict testosterone levels in female athletes. South Africa's golden girl was fighting against rules by the International Association of Athletics Federations to decrease naturally high testosterone levels in female track athletes. While some are saying that the ruling against Caster Semenya is unfair, others believe she needs to be left alone so that she can continue to participate in races peacefully and win like she always does.
Well, I think we were all very disappointed when we got the verdict from the Court of Arbitration for Sport. We were hoping for something a bit more positive.
She has always been who she is, and they need to leave her alone so she can continue running in peace. She is what she is. There is no reason why she should be viewed wrongly for who she is. She is a girl, that's it.
In table tennis news, Nigeria's Aaron Akwadri has maintained his dominance as the continent's best as well as overall 23rd rated player in the world. In the latest ranking released by the World Table Tennis ruling body, Aaron Akwadri gained some points to maintain his ranking. The table tennis star says the future is even brighter for younger players on the continent.
So I think they have gained a lot, and for sure in future, if Nigeria can continue to encourage them by attending more tournaments, I think they will be able to participate very well against the best players in the world.
In football news, ahead of the 2019 African Cup of Nations, Bafana Bafana of South African national football team coach Stuart Baxter has revealed that a reserve national team will represent the nation at the upcoming regional COSAFA Cup in Durban later this month. Many expected Stuart Baxter to select a full-strength squad for the COSAFA Cup tournament and use it as preparations for the African Cup of Nations in Egypt that starts next month. But Coach Baxter says he needs a fully rested team at the AFCON tournament after a long and tasking season.
The players are coming off a very long season. They're coming off their seasons staggered. We want to remain competitive and be as well prepared as possible. So we could throw in a very strong team in COSAFA and win that. But then those same players have got to stay at tournament mode for another 6 weeks.
And finally, fans wearing yellow colours will be allowed free entry into the Lucas Moripe Stadium as Mamelodi Sundowns prepare for their CAF Champions League second leg semi-final against Wydad Casablanca on Saturday. The South Africans take on the Moroccan Giants trailing 2-1 from the first leg that was played in Rabat last weekend. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thanks, Samson, and I hope you have a sporty weekend. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Samson mentioned the COSAFA Cup tournament in his report. The draw was held in Durban for the competition, organized by the Council of Southern Africa Football Associations. Host South Africa will face Botswana in the quarterfinals of the COSAFA Cup, while Lesotho will take on guest team Uganda. The defending COSAFA Cup champion Zimbabwe will meet the winner of Group A in the quarterfinals. Group A has Angola, Eswatini, formerly Swaziland, Comoros, and Mauritius. And Zambia will play the winner of Group B in the quarterfinals. Group B has Mozambique, Namibia, Malawi, and Seychelles. The 2019 COSAFA Cup tournament will be staged in Durban, South Africa from May 25th to June 8th. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In pro boxing, Mexican star Saul Canelo Alvarez will meet American Daniel, the Miracle Man Jacobs, in a world middleweight title unification fight on Saturday night in Las Vegas, Nevada. Canelo will be defending his WBA and WBC titles, while Jacobs is putting his IBF belt on the line. The Miracle Man Jacobs almost had his prize-fighting career cut short in 2011 when he was diagnosed with a rare form of bone cancer. But the Miracle Man made a full recovery after spending nearly 2 years out of the fight game. Former super middleweight world champion Carl Froch of Britain will be ringside for Canelo Miracle Man, working as a commentator for Sky Sports. Froch says, and I quote, "I think Jacobs is a good fighter. He is fast, he is big, and is a world champion, but Canelo is too strong. Canelo has the power, and I believe at this moment he is the best there is. He is at his peak. I believe Canelo is going to win. I'm also picking Canelo to win." The Mexican has a pro record of 51 wins, 1 loss, and 2 draws. The Miracle Man, Daniel Jacobs, has 35 victories and 2 defeats. Meanwhile, Ghana's Isaac Royal Storm Dogbe will try to reclaim the WBO Super Bantamweight title May 11th when he has a rematch against Mexico's Emmanuel Navarrete in the western U.S. city of Tucson, Arizona. Almost 5 months ago, Dogbe lost his world title when Navarrete beat him by a unanimous 12-round decision in New York City. In an interview with our friend in Accra, Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori, Isaac's father and trainer, Paul, said he's confident his son will win the rematch.
We can't wait. Navarrete is a very strong, determined boxer. We underrated Navarrete in the first fight, and he gave Isaac a proper beat. And this time, it's not going to be like when we lost the title. It's going to be a different fighter. A fully fit Isaac Dogbe is a dangerous boxer. As you know, we took down Magdaleno, Cesar Juarez, Chacon, and we thought we had finished every strong person in that division. But then, lo and behold, here comes Navarrete at Isaac's lowest point. Still, he couldn't knock Isaac Dogbe out when Isaac wasn't fully fit. So we know this time we have the bull by his balls, and Navarrete is going down, definitely.
After the fight, you blame poor preparation as the cause of losing the fight. So now, how have you started your preparation? How are you ending it up? I mean, in all run-up.
We were supposed to camp in Los Angeles, but then we decided to camp in Ghana, in the Volta region, by the beach, in Keta. Keta has this sand dune, you know, and it's a very serious, tedious training exercise if you're working around the beach. Morning and evening, Isaac is on the beach. We spar on the beach. We do our strength and conditioning on the beach. We do everything on the beach. So conditioning for Isaac this trip, oh my God, you know. I would say this is the only super bantamweight fight we're going to have. And then after this fight, we're moving up to challenge the featherweight champion because Isaac is growing. And as you know, if a kid is growing, we can't be suppressing his growth all the time. So Isaac is fully fit now. He's ready.
What about you as the head of the corner? How are your corner men and all the guys helping you to assist the boxer?
I have changed my corner because the last fight, like I said, we underrated Navarrete. So even the corner, I was the only professional in the corner, you know, even though the other guys were also under training. Sometimes you need to bring those guys in to feel the atmosphere, you know, how world title fights are made. But cost us the title, you know. Yeah. Even though I'm a cat man myself, I'm the head trainer.
Yeah.
I was supposed to bring, you know, Jampa Atta or my friend Sonny from the Sonny Boxing Gym. So everything is intact. Sonny is coming, Jampa Atta is coming, Michael Tamora is coming. So these are the guys doing the corner. So these are professionals helping me do the corner. So I'm very sorry again to Top Rank that I messed up in the last fight, and it's not going to happen again.
The two boxers meeting is nothing new.
Yeah.
They know their tactics, they know their strategies. Yeah. So are you going with new plans?
A fully fit Isaac Dogbe is a boxer that goes forward. If Isaac is fit, Navarrete don't stand a chance. Isaac is going to go after Navarrete like a mad lion. Navarrete is going down. There is no doubt about it. Like I said, Isaac Dogbe wasn't fit in Dogbe Navarrete 1. You could see his legs were gone. He was in and out of hospital doing all these royal visits. We used the sauna and the jacuzzi steam room to lose the weight.
Mm-hmm.
Even at that point, we knew we could knock Navarrete out. Mm-hmm. We were so surprised that Navarrete put up that resistance and then Isaac lost.
That's Paul Dogbe, the father and trainer of Ghana's former world super bantamweight champion, Isaac Dogbe. And he was talking with Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori in Accra, Ghana. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
They're playing back.
The National Basketball Association playoffs continue later Friday night with two second-round games. In the first game, the Boston Celtics will host the Milwaukee Bucks. And in the second game, the Portland Trail Blazers are at home against the Denver Nuggets. Both of these best-of-seven series are tied at one game each. In NBA playoff action Thursday night, the Philadelphia 76ers routed the visiting Toronto Raptors by 21 points to take a 2-1 series lead. The AP's Michael Luongo reports from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
The 76ers went wire to wire in a 116-95 win over the Raptors in Game 3 of their Eastern Conference semifinal series. Joel Embiid scored 7 of Philadelphia's first 11 points in the first quarter. After Toronto cut the lead to 8 after 3, Philadelphia closed the game in the fourth quarter with a 21-2 run that was capped by a dunk by Embiid that pushed the lead to 26 points. Embiid had 33 for the Sixers.
You know, we knocked down some shots. A couple of great drives, and we also got stops.
Kawhi Leonard had 33 for Toronto. Michael Luongo, Philadelphia.
Thanks, Michael. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Cameroonian star Joel Embiid was serenaded with chants of MVP, MVP, MVP by the fans in Philadelphia after his big performance in Game 3. But the Philly fans were upset after an illegal play by another Cameroonian player, Pascal Siakam of the Toronto Raptors. In the fourth quarter, Embiid blocked Siakam's shot, and Siakam responded by tripping Embiid. Siakam was called for a flagrant foul. Game 4 in the 76ers-Raptors series will be Sunday in Philadelphia. More NBA playoff news. The Sunny Side of Sports sends get well wishes to Boston Celtics president Danny Ainge, who suffered a mild heart attack. The 60-year-old executive received immediate medical attention Tuesday night in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. That's where the Celtics were playing the Milwaukee Bucks in a playoff game. Celtics coach Brad Stevens says he's been in frequent communication with Ainge's family, and he says they all seem to be doing well. Get well soon, Danny! And that wraps up the May 3rd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Kwame Ofori. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nick Ivanov. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Hello, this is Peter Clotty, host of Nightline Africa. Please join us every Saturday and Sunday at 16 and 18 hours UTC. Nightline Africa is VOA's Africa's weekend show that provides news, features, and entertainment news about Africa and the world. Tune in. You will be glad you did. I guarantee it.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music. And Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
This is Science in a Minute.
Eating a lot of certain foods may put you at a higher risk of cardiovascular disease. But a couple of new studies say when you eat could also affect your heart health. A new study published in the Journal of the American College of Cardiology provides further evidence that missing breakfast puts you at an increased risk of death due to heart disease. Another study of patients who were recently discharged from a hospital after being treated for a heart attack takes mealtimes a step further. Published in the European Journal of Preventive Cardiology, the study suggests heart attack patients who skipped breakfast and ate dinner right before bedtime were also 4 to 5 times more likely to die, have another heart attack, or experience angina. Study authors suggested at least a 2-hour break between dinner and bedtime. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
VOA's Learning English is available online at learningenglish.voanews.com. Check out our programs such as Let's Learn English, English in a Minute, Everyday Grammar, and many more. VOA's Learning English, your reliable source for learning English.
The Voice of America's flagship global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. We have hundreds of reporters gathering the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 17 UTC and 2230 UTC. We're also available online at voanews.com.
Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondent reports from around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information. VOA.
This is